acting to me. It's really, it's what made him, as far as, you know, and just is a lot what Scott said. I mean, it's the book, the movie, and the play are a lot different, but they, the theme is still is the same.
Right.
Is that he comes in and these guys don't even respect themselves. They don't care about one another, more or less themselves, and they're just being controlled. And he comes in and gets them to, you know, lighten up and
enjoy life.
Yeah.
Well, so Jack Nicholson obviously is a force. You can't see that movie without responding to him as an actor.
And it's a big difference in the McMurphy in the book and in the movie.
And how does he make that different? What does Jack Nicholson do to that character, or the director do to that character?
Well, it was just played a whole different way. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the book, he's a loudmouth. He's just a hellraiser.
Well, Scott said a criminal.
criminal larger than
loud,
life.
Loud, boisterous. Yeah. I mean, just screaming, rolling laughter. I mean, just is huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not gonna play right on film.
Yeah,
you know, so. What Jack did to it was genius, and it's what everybody's seen. You know, well, you could play this character big, like it's kind of in the play, but there's kind of a balance mm-hmm. in between it, because mm-hmm. in live theater you can't do what Jack did throughout the whole play.
Right. Well, now, you've said everybody's seen, and I'm fascinated by the things people have not seen.
Right.
Whether it's someone who's just a teenager, mm-hmm. someone in college, people in their 30s or 40s, what we think of as classic films, iconic films, what people haven't seen. So I'm imagining there are quite a number of people listening right now who actually have not seen that.
Yeah.
What would you say to those people to encourage them to encounter this, to actually encounter this story, this experience? Scott, you're the director. playing McMurphy.
You sounded like you had something.
Well,
why should we see this? What does it say to people? It's not just a story about a man in a mental asylum.
No, of course not. I mean, it's really...
Well, again, he wrote... The play, I mean, he wrote the book on acid, okay? So it
took inspiration.
So, I mean, he unlocked doors inside the human brain mm-hmm. that he wrote about, and his experiences and these hallucinations. And in the book, it goes into great detail about all that. And it's just like it's like 1960 or 1961 mm-hmm. or 62 mm-hmm. when he wrote it. Mm-hmm. And this is like right in the beginning of the 60s generation, 70s mm-hmm. generation, and all that explosion of the culture.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a glimpse, you know, a bird's eye view of what was, the cocoon stage of all that, and where a lot of the minds were. And when you unlock all those doors by, you know, using these psychedelic drugs, then it explores these areas. I mean, the mind is open to these things.
Yeah, you're right. It is a glimpse back into that time period mm-hmm. and kind of an original Altered States story.
Yes.
But there is something very universal about it,
sure.
too, I mean, that even if you're 15 years old encountering
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And there's you know, it's the theme of oppression and authority run are current through the entire mm-hmm. play. Mm-hmm. And then you have this amazing, especially in the play and you know, maybe in the movie, but I think the play is, like you said, a balance between the two as far as the take on McMurphy. But you have this really fun-loving, energetic person who comes in and helps these guys to not only kind of find themselves and, you know, work through the oppression that they're living in, but also take responsibility for themselves and for the people around them and care for the people around them. And it's done in just such a fun, exciting way, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. through McMurphy and through this character that, I mean, it's a blast to watch, you know, I mean, it's amazing.
Okay, so we've kind of been talking about book, film, play, but you all are doing the play.
Yes.
And that play will open this week at Cité des Arts. Mm-hmm. So how are you playing it? What is your focus as a director, Scott? What, I mean, and of course, I'm sure you all have worked very closely. I mean, Cooper, you have directed plays before, but that character, I'm sure, takes everything you have just to play that character.
Yeah.
So how are you directing this? What is
Well, you know, I try and make sure that my character of Chief, who is the narrator of the play, is someone
and
that...
And he's not a police chief, for those people who haven't seen it.
Chief Bromden. He's Native American.
Big Chief Bromden.
You know,
who plays him in this?
Casey Harmon. Okay. He's a fantastic local actor. He's been in numerous plays for years and years and years. Very talented guy. I try and make sure that the audience is going to stay connected to him and follow him from beginning to end.
So McMurphy's important, but that narrator is very important.
That is
to the story.
Key when we decided to do this, that this play is very difficult to do because a lot of people focus in on McMurphy as the lead character and the storyline, and they focus in on that, and the chief can somewhat get left behind. Mm-hmm. Well, our goal is to make Chief as much or more of a character than McMurphy. That way there's a there's an equal to it, and I think we get the true punch of this story. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're driving at. Mm-hmm. And we do it with lights and sound. We've got a lot of – I mean, you're coming to a play, but you're coming to a movie theater.
Well, that's becoming the hallmark of the Lauren Riley Elliott Company, isn't
it?
Yes.
There aren't any breaks. There's no debts.
A little pyrotechnics on stage.
Yeah, a little pyro.
Okay, technology. Well, and that's interesting that you are choosing to do that, to make the chief as much a character, because – if you only talked about the exuberance and the craziness and the wildness of McMurphy and didn't show the effect he actually had on humanity, on people, you would lose half of that story.
Absolutely.
That it's not just his personality, but it is. What does that do? How does that inspire anyone or change anybody's life?
And Chief is the character who is most absorbed in that. He's silenced himself from the world, you know, so... To break through to that is the biggest dynamic, you know. It's the hardest task,
right?
Which is interesting. India told me about it. This really takes place in a lobotomized Indian. Can you tell me that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there are a lot. I think you can interpret this play and several scenes in this play in different ways, and one of them is, you know, you have this character, Chief Bromden, who has spent his entire life, basically since a child, in a mental institution, and he's an unreliable narrator at best. You know, you don't really know if he's crazy. You don't know what kind of medication he's been given, and yet you choose to follow him through this story and listen to him and believe him and go along with him. And there's just always that question of what is real. You know, there are these monologues that he takes that are kind of separate from the action of the play. I find myself questioning all the time, what is real, the action of the play or the monologues that when he's actually speaking himself, and the rest of it is just this imaginary, you know, place that he is in his mind.
So, like, when you combine the experimentation of the drugs and everything he said about the plight of McMurphy and saving these guys' souls, and it's all of that. And when you have it all in one big bundle like that, you're gonna and it's executed properly, the audience will be left thinking for weeks, because what is real? Is that part fantasy, or is that part, you know, in a hallucination? And it's just, how does this come together and it makes sense? And it's Rage Against the Machine, the big man, you know. I mean, it's
all of those themes,
big government. Yes.
They're powerful images, whether it's the book, the play, or the movie, that stay
so
with
powerful.
You. I mean, they're images that come every once in a while to my mind. It's just various situations in life bring those
culture.
Yes, those lines and the images and the stories, and the play is the same. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, the play we're talking about is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's being directed by Scott Grimiaw, and acting as McMurphy is my other guest, Cooper Helm. It will open on Friday, but tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, there is a pay-as-you-can dress rehearsal, so anyone can attend, students who would would love to see this play, have heard about it, but have not either seen the movie or read the book, certainly can attend.
And it's pay what you can, okay? But if you don't have any money, you're free to come for free.
So pay what you can means
we want to fill
zero.
Up the theater for our preview night.
Yeah. Okay.
So come if you
just want. It's an open dress rehearsal.
Yeah, one penny, you get in.
All right. Okay, definitely. So if there are any teachers who are teaching that book out there and think their students could benefit by seeing the play, great opportunity tomorrow evening. Mm-hmm. What time does the dress rehearsal begin?
7:30. Doors will open at 7.
Okay. There's a pre-show at 7 o'clock to 7:15, where we have the patients, and well, actually, it's just a day in the life.
Yeah.
And for our performances as well, there'll be a pre-show starting at 7. So if you get there, you can come in and
interact with the patients.
Just, you know, to see what happens in the daily lives of a mental institution.
But then you have to get out and go into the audience afterwards. You can't stay there.
I don't know if they're going to want to go on stage at that point.
Yeah. I've
walked on stage during that, I call it life on the ward improv that we do before every rehearsal. And, you know, I'll go on stage to fix something on the wall or fix a piece of furniture or something like that. And I start looking around and I start feeling like I'm in a war.
That is a testament to the power of your set designer, your actors, everything. I'm sure that your audience will feel the same. So it does open on Friday. How long will it run? One, two weekends?
Three weekends.
Three weekends.
Yeah, three weekends.
So you have lots of opportunities.
So
lots of time, lots of games.
Our last show is the Sunday of Super Bowl. And they're going to be showing the Super Bowl at Cité des Arts on a big screen after the play. So, you know, come see the play and then have a couple
see
of beers and watch the Super Bowl with us.
Definitely.
Well, we'll be sure to remind people of that as that day gets closer. But you have 3 weekends to see it. And then, of course, if you're a student and really need a little assistance, you can see the pay as you can, even if that's nothing, tomorrow evening. Doors open at 7, starts at 7:30. Now, Cooper is McMurphy, and you did mention Casey Harmon,
right,
who plays Chief. Who are your other actors in the play?
Well, there's 16 actors. Jim LeVere is Dale Harding. We have Gus Fontenot plays Billy Bibbit. And Gus is, I think it's his first time on the stage. And, I mean, it's just been amazing to watch him develop. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just
very
transitioned into this character. Nurse Ratchet is played by Hope Garrett Cook, who we've worked with a couple of times before. And she's always a pleasure.
That's a hard act to follow, too, because so many people have that image in their head of Nurse Ratchet.
But absolutely, she just has this look to her that's
formidable.
Good. And her tone and her voice is very nice, too. Yeah. So
Andre Traha is one of our patients, Cheswick. Scott Hermes plays Martini. Jackie Robertson plays Turkle, who's a night aide, kind of the comic relief. And we have Mitch Berry and Michael Smith, who play our aides, Warren and Williams. We have
Catherine Arsenault, Abby Degger.
Yeah.
They are the Twitches.
Candy Star.
Candy Star and Sandra. Let's see.
And Kayla Naquin plays Nurse Flynn.
That's right. Oh, Ed.
Ed. Ed DeMahey plays Dr. Spivey.
Dr. Spivey.
Real interesting
Jack
guy
Sorenstein
with an amazing voice.
Is Scanlan.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Jack Sorensen, Scanlan.
Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention Todrus Sam?
Todrus was actually in our production before, but he's had to leave our production.
Well, that's quite a cast. And are some of these characters characters who are in the play and not in the movie, or are they all pretty much the same?
No, some of them are kind of a combination of different characters in the book, as well as I think in the movie there are some that are kind of combined. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's like it. Like they have, we can't do a fishing scene like in the movie, but there is lines from the fishing scene that are in the play in a different scene.
Yeah.
And it does that throughout and how they've combined and here and that. And it's also been rewritten several times to the play. So it's ever changing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like no matter what you've seen or not seen or experienced, this will only help complete your full experience, whether you have read the book, seen the play.
It sounds like
you really should see this experience, because a very interesting twist on of interpretation. And, of course, if you only know the name and have never seen anything, this would be a great place to start.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You can see dress rehearsal tomorrow. It opens on Friday and then runs for 3 weekends. And Cooper, you wanted to add something?
I just wanted to say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The title alone says it all. It's like everybody is just really, you're just right there. The insanity is right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, how do you stay away from it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going crazy. We all say that sometimes. I might fly over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah. Well, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, or even if it's just a brief experience, it will touch you.
I don't know if that's a good analogy, but anyway, I'm sorry.
You can have an audience discussion afterwards.
Sure. If I could just get this in too. Our production, the Lauren Riley Elliott production, is sponsored by Creations by Fire. Mm-hmm. They're a local store downtown on Jefferson Street. It's a jewelry store, and they've sponsored us and helped us out so much.
Okay. And do you all have a web presence or a Facebook presence?
Absolutely. LRETheater.com.
Okay. Well, people can take a look at that and find out more. Go to the Cité website as well. You can attend tomorrow, pay as you can, and then on Friday it does open to the general public. Thank you both for coming by. Scott Grimiaw directing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Cooper Helm playing R.P. McMurphy in the play.
Thanks so much,
Judith.
Thank
you both.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The UL Lafayette Friends of the Humanities is offering a books and film class taught by Dr. Mary Ann Wilson. The title of the class this spring is Faulkner and Flannery, Exploring the Southern Gothic. It runs Wednesdays, January 22nd through February 19th. To register for the class, you can contact Dr. Mary Ann Wilson in the UL Lafayette English Department. New exhibits open this month at the Hilliard University Art Museum. Richard Landry's 1970s New York City downtown artists, great photographs of these artists that he played with and enjoyed doing art with, just an amazing collection and moment in time. The Art of Seating, 200 Years of American Design, and Keith Saunier, selected work from the media series, all up at the University Art Museum. The website is hilliardmuseum.org for more information about exhibits and hours. In Lake Charles, at the 1911 Historic City Hall Arts and Cultural Center, several exhibits are now open. A collection of work by Julia Caroline Youngblood, also black and white photographs, a part of Bill Owens' Suburbia exhibit that is on a national tour now, and work by Jessica Gale. Jazz at the Center will present Luciana Souza Quintet as a part of their Jazz at the Center series at the Acadiana Center for the Arts this Friday at 7:30. Tickets are available through their website. The Lafayette Farmers and Artisans Market at the Horse Farm every Saturday features a Cajun jam from 9 to 11 each week. This Saturday, Diego Martin Perez and Sam Giarusso will be leading that Cajun jam at the Horse Farm. Each Saturday, it will be new leaders of the jam. Arbor Day is being celebrated at the Louisiana State Arboretum this Saturday, January 18th. For more information, you can go to their website. French classes are being offered this spring by Alliance Française de Lafayette. The Silverbacks Improv Theater will be performing monthly at Theater 810 in downtown Lafayette. Their next show is this evening, 7:30. Theater 810 is at 810 Jefferson Street. Tickets can be reserved by calling the theater at 484-0172. And opening this weekend at Cité des Arts is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, being produced by the Lauren Riley Elliott Company. There will be a pay-as-you-can dress rehearsal tomorrow evening, Thursday evening. The play dress rehearsal starts at 7:30, and then the play will run for 3 weekends at Cité des Arts. Trees Acadiana will have their Louisiana Arbor Day celebration this Saturday with a tree planting. For more information, you can stop by their website or Facebook page. Stay with KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 to 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air, and at 7 o'clock, it's Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired. In just a moment, we'll join NPR's All Things Considered.
On the next Hearts of Space, a super chilled electronic winter journey with music by Ian Boddy, Eric Volo, Simon Lomax, and more. I'm Stephen Hill, a program called, wait for it, Polar Vortex, on the next Hearts of Space.
Coming up tonight at 11 on KRVS.
I'm Lee Kleinpeter, swinging it on a Friday night for KRVS's Big Band Swings. Plus, at no extra charge, we'll sway you with nice, slow ballads. It's a cornucopia of nostalgic sounds, Friday nights, 7 until 9. Plus, climb on board the Big Band Swings Express, Wednesday night at 9 for a special one-hour repeat. All on public radio for Acadiana, KRVS in Lafayette Lake Charles. And you can stream our audio at krvs.org. Love to have you along for the Big Band Swings and other things wing-ding.
Meet the boys on the battlefront.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront.
Wild Magnolia's gonna bust our
rhymes. Hey, hey, in the morning if the sun don't shine, Wild Magnolia's gonna come.
I told my mama when I left home, last that morning and I'm coming home. So no worry, don't be scared. Mardi Gras morning, they may not mad.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Wild Mac, know you're gonna bust my
run. Six wide, purple on up a hole in the ground. Hole in the ground, we dance all around. When they holler, y'all, when they run, I'ma be chief on Mardi Gras. Get the hell out the way.
Battle.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Welcome to Japan Jukebox on KRVS 88.7 FM. We're your hosts Cody and Danny Hiltz. We open the show tonight with Butter Chicken Moon Carnival by Huey Ishizaki. Next up is 24 Searchlight by Nergulous, followed by World's End Supernova by Kuruli.
Inside. Bye.
that was Polarized by Tam Tam. Next up is the band Scenario Art. The newcomer's major debut album was released January 15th. As they describe themselves on their website, Scenario Art's music combines bright melodies with the story of a fantasy world, such as in a picture book. Here is Spacey by Scenario Art, which will be followed by Native Dancer by Sock on Action, and Andromeda by Sleepy.
いつかの空が僕を忘れたとして、その時はどこかで雪が降るのを待つさ。季節は僕らを追い越してゆくけど、思い出は立ち止まったまま冬の花のよう。僕は至って最高を思い出したのは辛いこと、心が何年も何年もかけて染みついた汚れ落ちてしまえ。この街のずっと最高峰を思い出したのはあのこと、言葉が何遍も何遍も繰り返し回り始めた。
僕を忘れ